Well, the Lord has put a fire in my soul and in my eyes, and I hope that you can see and hear some of it tonight. When I was just tracking with the Lord through the summer, there's such a discontent in my heart, and there's such an angst. I was getting frustrated with our staff. Who can get frustrated with our staff, right? I'm getting mad at them. I was getting frustrated with several things at our church. You see, our elders for the longest time since January had just been praying about, God, where are we supposed to go? You know, what are we supposed to do? We have these walls that are surrounding us here as a church. We have three services. You know, at that time, the 10 a.m. was just busting out of the seams. And what is our next step? We looked at options for fourth services. We looked at options for Saturday night services. We started looking at land all around. We looked at a ton of land of what does God have in store? Can we build next to here? We talked to architects. We just really went through a whole lot of motions, and every step of the way, there was just this, this isn't it. I remember even one of the elders' meetings when we were talking through stuff. I think it was Josh McDonald. You said, you know, when we're looking at the services, you're like, well, I'm going to keep praying because this isn't it right here, you know? And I think discontent is the way to say it. In October, those of you who know me, you know that I fast, so it's a secret to having a skin and bones body. Right? I just started fasting, and I usually set a time limit on it when I fast. I just started fasting, and just saying, Lord, and I'm not going to eat until, you know, whatever this is just gone. Man, because you got to do something here. And you know how miserable it is to fast and act like you're not fasting, you know. And of course, God does all this cool stuff with food that week. I mean, Ivory and Moon open up. They have a grand opening for their awesome food truck. And I'm out there, you know, to bless the opening. And it's like, there's food everywhere. And so I'm just crying out to the Lord, you know, how long do you want this? And why is it? Why aren't you speaking? And it had been 3 days and the Lord had just been silent. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, you know? What's going on? And so I even told Elizabeth, because normally I just fast for 3 days, and I just said, it's not, you know, it's just not over. And we need to keep seeking the Lord. And so, man, it was like God just started downloading stuff. And it just started downloading peace and joy and vision for the Lord. Something where, man, there's some years where it's like we're just going to try to keep doing what God has done. And this is a year where God is saying, man, here's what I want you to do. God started speaking to me about my identity. And frankly, after, you know, you've been fasting for more than 3 days, and the Lord's like, Jonathan, you need to work on your identity. I'm like, God, you got to be kidding me, right? That I don't need to work on my identity. I know who I am in Christ. I know who he's made me to be. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, I've been having that stuff preached to me since I was a kid. I'm confident about this, and it was as if the Lord was saying, you know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, but what you're struggling with is that's all present tense. I am making you fearfully and wonderfully made. It goes well beyond the womb, church, right? He knit us together fearfully and wonderfully made, but then what God does in our lives is fearfully and wonderfully made when it's by the hand of the Lord. And God was, it was just so profound, and this is something that we should know, and for some reason we struggle with it, because God was saying, you know, Jonathan, you're in your confidence, you've been confident in who you are plenty of times, and how has that gone for you, and how has that gone for the church? It's led to failure a lot of times, but if you would look and see when you've been confident in the things that I am doing, you see how God and bless. And those are the things that you want to be confident in, right? I mean, it starts simple. I am confident that I am saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I am confident that I am alive because Jesus lives. And he lives, and therefore I live because of faith in him. Man, and the story keeps rolling from my life. You know, Jonathan, look at these things that I did when you were 16. Look at this thing that I did to bring you this fabulous wife. Look at these children. Look at how I've spoken to you. These are the things that you can be confident on. And the Lord just started tying that together with our identity as a church. You know, we looked at land that was so great, some highway frontage. You can buy a few acres for $5 million right up there. It's pretty sweet. This land that's catty corner from Walgreens. I certainly love 10 acres for $1.8 million across the street from Walgreens. Had some great offers from friends just in the community about land east and west, Kyle. God can be glorified in us building something. He can be. We can build a church twice this size, and God's going to receive the glory from it, and it could be really cool. But I believe there's a way he's going to receive even more glory than that. I believe God wants our church to multiply, not just add chairs to a bigger room, but to multiply. And I believe with all of my heart that in this room and in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings, God is raising up people. Even as I speak, man, the Holy Spirit burns within me for this message of the amount of lost people that are around us. Right, and here we sit in one of the fastest growing cities in the United States of America. And here we sit on this west side next to Hayes High School, next to Barton Middle School. On the east side, we have what is it, the east side representatives, you know, that are over here in our church, and that's great. Praise the Lord. But I believe that God is raising us up to multiply and not just start a new work in East Kyle, but to multiply and send people. Send you, send staff members, send elders, send life group leaders to multiply in such a way that we send a church into East Kyle. In 10 years of being here as a pastor, you know how many churches I've seen come and go in 10 years? It's crazy. Oh, this is the next thing. This is so cool. Oh, that's neat. I wonder how they're going to do. They got 100 people now. Where did they go? It's so difficult to get something going from nothing. But if the Lord takes the heart that was in this room, I mean, did you worship with us just now? We're raising the roof in here, singing our guts out to the Lord and worship. The Lord wants to multiply that and move it. And church, if we send 100 people, if we send 200 people, in the East Kyle, can you imagine? Suddenly these people are leaving Lehman High School and they're tripping over a new church. This doesn't seem like a new church. There's already 200 people that are a part of this. Where did this come from? Can you imagine what God is going to have to do? Can you imagine the glory that he's going to have to receive? I don't care how big of a church we build over here. In this place, my name and my identity are going to be wrapped up into it. I don't want that. God can be glorified. I know he can in that. But God's going to receive tons of glory in this. Because this is a work that only he has to do. Some of you, even as I speak this, are saying, man, I came here to hear something exciting. This is something uncomfortable. Because I don't want to think about our church changing. It's so cool. Church is cool. God's doing a great work in here. And it's not for us, church. It's for the glory of God. It's for these people that are moving into Kyle that are lost, that don't know Jesus. We don't have enough churches in Kyle. Because I trip over lost people at HEB every single day. I don't go to HEB anymore. We do the drive up and deliver thing. But those people are lost that are coming out to our car at HEB. We need Jesus, right? And you think about this in our church. God's going to have to raise up you to be a new life group leader. God's going to have to raise up you to be new from hiding your gift and not standing up to lead worship, because we're going to have twice as many needs. God's going to have to raise up you who have been training to be an elder now to step into eldership in another role. God's going to have to raise up you to be on a team that's suddenly going to be setting up and tearing down again. God's going to have to raise up you to be a believer in the Great Commission. Guys, we have one mission as a church. It's not to have some love fest here and say, oh, great, the sermon was great. I'm glad they were good. I'd rather them be good than bad, personally, right? I'm glad the worship is good. I'd rather the worship be good than bad, personally, right? I'm excited about this. But our goal and our aim is Jesus and the Great Commission. I mean, Matthew 28, he makes it so abundantly clear. I am calling you to go and make disciples. He could have said, I want you to go and build big buildings. And he didn't say that. I want you to go and see how many life groups you can have in one church. He didn't say that. I want you to go and see how many people you can fit into a building that's too small. He didn't say that, did he? I want you to go and make disciples. And the way we make disciples is multiplying ourselves. I believe with all of my heart in January 2019, we are going to launch something that this city has never seen. Two churches with one heart for the Lord that are totally autonomous. Don't think for a second I'm going to be on a screen or our staff members are going to be helicoptering back and forth to something. No, no. This is a new work that the Lord wants to do, and he wants to accomplish using you. You are people that would come to church on a Sunday night for a banquet. You're the people that God would, you're perfect for this. What scares me and what gives me such excitement in the same breath is that God's going to send the best of you over there. It does. He's going to send the best of you because that's what he does. He's been raising you up for such a time as this. I've been on my knees, weeping before the Lord and praying for God to raise up well over 100 of you. I know you love me. I know you love us. We don't have a pastor. We don't have anything set in place. We don't know where anything is going to meet. We're not going to even try to find out those things for the next 2 months. We're going to pray for 2 months. And church, I'm calling you to pray about you and your family. We don't want a divide that says, oh, if you live in East Kyle, you need to be over there. And if you live in West Kyle, that's stupid, right? We're West Side Church. Y'all are East Side Church. It's the same sign, isn't it? West Side and East Side. It doesn't make any sense. We're not going to do that. But if you have a heart for East Kyle, I don't care if you live in Plum Creek or Mountain City or Steeplechase or Waterleaf, then I want you to be in East Kyle reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If your heart is here in West Kyle, then I want you to be here with us reaching people for Jesus Christ. As we've been talking about this with leadership, several people have asked, you know, this has a chance to fail. You better believe it does. What if 300 go to East Kyle and others stay here, but because of the dynamic, that church fails and this church fails, then there is no other way I would rather fail than following Jesus. There's no other way. I feel like my face is set like flint towards what God is doing in this. We met together as elders after talking about this church growth thing for the longest time. And we met together as elders after a neighborhood meeting right here in this place. And it was amazing, the peace of God that surpassed understanding in that room. I'm praying that same peace would rest upon you. I don't know what the Lord will tell you in November and December as you pray about this. I don't know who the Lord's going to raise up to pastor. I don't want people following a pastor. I want God to tell you he's sending me over there because I want you to be following Jesus Christ. And then whoever God raises up to shepherd and the pastor, then that's the thing that we run with. Right? It scares me to death to think, oh, yeah, let me be the pastor here at East Kyle. And then people, oh, yeah, we want to follow Jonathan. Don't follow Jonathan. Don't follow a man. Follow the King of Kings. Follow him. He's who I hope you see in us anyway, that keeps you coming here. Isn't it amazing when the Lord speaks the church into existence? When he tells Peter, Peter, you've said that I am the Christ, and the gates of hell will not prevail against this. As soon as the Lord started speaking, man, this is what God wants to do. Man, in my spirit, I just feel the enemy trembling. He scared church, not because of you and you being gifted to go and do something. He's scared because this is going to require us to say, it's Jesus or it's nothing else. It's going to stink to be separated from our friends. It's going to stink to be apart in this way. But this is for the sake of the gospel and for Jesus Christ. And he's got to do this work. That makes the enemy tremble. I mean, I can't wait to see January 2020 when we're looking back at a year of this and what the Lord is doing. I don't want to mention her name, and don't want to point her out in this room, but even a beautiful woman of God this morning, man, she just stopped me after the service and said, I just got a word from the Lord for you. And you know me, how many times have I ever done this? I'm like, you've never done this. You know, and this is what the Lord says. And just time and time again, God is using his people to confirm what he wants to do. Isn't it coincidence that God's calling us to do this when we're marching through the complete story of the Bible on Sunday mornings? Isn't it coincidence that God led us to start this training center and there's 17 of us memorizing ministry passages and memorizing how to put all the Bible together to be equipped to go out and to be sent? And I believe with all of my heart that God has been arranging this for a long time. I remember when I first came here as pastor, Rod Limley, I sat down, we were in Marty Mosher's kitchen, and he said, Jonathan, this isn't going to be some mega church that we're doing here. Our heart in this church is to multiply and to do other neighborhood churches. So that's great, Rod. You know, yeah, I'm right in with that. I remember several years ago, we put a vision up here at the banquet to say God has led us to this building to be a hub and to be a lighthouse to those who are around us, right? What have all those things meant? And God's just been stirring a pot and a recipe to be ready to feed those who are hungry right here in Kyle. For the next 2 months, every Sunday, you better believe I'm going to be putting this out in front of us as a church and asking you to pray. I don't even want, if you want to talk to people about it, that's okay. But I don't even want you to be led by other people. I want you to decide in your own heart, what would God have for me in this mission? And then let's do it. Man, and when January rolls around, we're just going to start running. We're going to start planning. We're going to start organizing. We're going to be announcing. It's just going to be exciting. I can't wait. Does it make sense, church? Have I been unclear? I want you to look in Acts in chapter 13. See, the church of Antioch quickly became one of the five hubs of the church as it spread across the world. And in Acts chapter 13, it says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul," right? There's already people identified with the life of God. That's you in this room. Some of you have just visited us for a few times and you're here. I believe God sent you here for a purpose and for a reason. Some of you have been here for 10 years with me. God still has you here for a purpose and a reason. They're identifying people who are standing out because of the life of Jesus Christ. In verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, right? They're seeking the Lord together. While they're worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Right? So new people are set apart for a new work that the Lord is doing. And in verse 3, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. The church sent them. In verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, the church sent them. And God sent them. That's our identity. It's wrapped up in Christ. That's the church. God's making us uncomfortable. And I praise the Lord for what he's doing.